Ladies and gentlemen, Uzi here with another episode of On The Record. So I'm actually going to be uploading back-to-back episodes. They're going to be right up against each other because Dead by Daylight loves hitting me in the fucking face with patch notes. So I literally mentioned in my last podcast that every single time I've recorded a podcast, a fucking patch note has been incorporated to change something up. And of course, Behavior decided to say, hey, we're going to do it again. They must have access to my computer or something. I don't know what to tell you. But Iridescent Blight Tag got a little bit of a update. And Hillbilly got, in my opinion, a rework that brought him up to, without a shadow of a doubt, the fourth strongest killer in the game. And I'll explain it here in a second. So, first of all, for Blight, the second strongest killer in the game, we have Iridescent Blight Tag now only giving you 3 rushes, but it increases your speed by 20%, and it increases your maximum rush look angle by 20 degrees. I haven't used it yet. I literally had a terrible experience with the other Eerie add-on, so I'm not even going to touch this one. It doesn't sound that great. I would rather have 5 rushes than 3. That's what makes Adrenaline Vial so incredibly strong, is that you get 7. So I don't understand why they think these Eerie add-ons is going to do anything. And I honestly thought the original Blight Tag of Infinite Rushes was fine with a 20-second cooldown. If it was really that big of a deal, they could have made it 24 seconds. I don't know if they did that because they knew they're going to rework Blight to 4.4, like I just said in the previous episode, and so they're trying to rework it again. I don't know. But if that's the case, it would just be like Chucky, so why even care? But I just can't believe that shit happened as soon as I recorded an episode. But let's move on to, in my opinion, one of the biggest changes in Hillbilly's kit is they increased the initial turn rate adjustment duration to 1 second when it was initially 0.75. For those who do not understand what that means, it pretty much means that you can curve objects a lot farther than you normally could. So Curvebilly just essentially got buffed. And I will be honest with you, on controller, it wasn't easy, but now it feels so fucking easy. It feels great. I am loving Billy. Honestly, I think this is the most fun I've ever had on a killer in all of my days of Dead by Daylight, that I might try to actually learn mouse and keyboard to truly learn how to just master curving on Hillbilly, because he's my new favorite killer. I thought I had fun with Blight, with Bump Logic. I thought I had fun with Wraith, with just, you know, being able to, you know, essentially body block and, you know, outmaneuver and outwit it. Enemy, I don't know why, but Wraith playstyle for me just feels really fun and rewarding, because I'm not one of those people that do a hit and run with Wraith. And of course, it could hurt me at times, but it's just not my style. I couldn't adjust to that even if I wanted to, because for me, it does not lead to results. But I love the way Wraith feels, I love the way Blight feels, but the way Hillbilly feels is like a new echelon of, it's literally just a true awakening. Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. I could glaze the Hillbilly for days. But we do have to talk about some of the downsides here. So they did decrease the Chainsaw Miss cooldown movement speed to 1.84 when it was initially 2.3. That is really healthy for the game, because it doesn't allow the Hillbilly to be right down your throat again to essentially try to get another attempt on a point-blank chainsaw on you. So it gives the survivor more of an opportunity to escape. Gives more counterplay. Very, very good for the game. And then they also add an audio cue when the Hillbilly's chainsaw cooldown is over and the chainsaw is ready to be used again, which is super cool. And then they also increase the Hillbilly's chainsaw volume from the survivor's perspective, which I'm sure is going to be useful so they don't just kind of sneak up on you, because it felt a little bit quiet before. So all in all, that was extremely good. I think that was a super healthy change. And they also decided to work on Grease Throttle and Thompson's Mix. They decreased the recovery time for Grease Throttle to 5% when it was initially 8, and then for Thompson's Mix, it is now down to 10% when it was initially 12. Healthy changes. Anyone who disagrees is totally fine to feel that way, but as someone who doesn't even use any add-ons for Blight, or not Blight, Cheezel, I'm brain dead, but for Hillbilly, I think this feels amazing. I am so happy with the current state of Hillbilly. I'm truly excited to try to master a new killer, and maybe even P100, a third killer. Honestly, I wish you could just transfer a P100 from one killer to another, because I would just say screw Blight and focus on Hillbilly. Because Hillbilly was always a killer that embodied a lot of the aspects of DBD that I liked, right? You get punished for bad mistakes because of the insta down. You have the ability to essentially maneuver the map at a fast rate, even faster than Blight, as a matter of fact. There's counterplay, which sometimes even against colors like Blight, there doesn't feel like there is, especially against a really good one. All in all, Hillbilly embodies all aspects of DBD that is fun for me. And then there's a super high skill ceiling, easily the hardest killer to master in the game. So, super good stuff. Super, super happy with it. And then last but not least, there was a little perk adjustment with Champion of Light and now with Flashbangs, which is a buff to it, because now it allows you to, you know, essentially, you know, leave the palette early and blind the killer. Or if you get good timing when the killer's chasing you and you drop the Flashbang around the corner and get a hit, bam, extra distance. Super powerful now, just in normal chase. So I'm really happy to see that that perk could legitimately be applicable in comp now if they allow it. For example, in 1v1s, I'm not sure if it's allowed because I don't participate in the 1v1 ladders. But Champion of Light would be nice because a strategy is to blind the killer when you're anticipating where the killer is going to go with a flashbang. And so if they get blinded, you're just gaining that additional distance because they're going to be hindered. Super, super nice. I'm really happy with the quality of life change that Champion of Light received because now it feels stronger. Speaking of stronger, though, let's talk about Dead by Daylight's perks and statistics that they recently released. Some of these perks are obviously going to be very strong that are in the top 10 for Survivor and Killer, but I'll quickly highlight the percentages as well as the perks themselves for all those audio listeners who don't have access to the statistics. However, I do want to talk about the problem with these perks being in the top 10. First of all, we have Windows of Opportunity at 32%, Adrenaline second at 23%, third place Lithe at 21%, fourth place Resilience at 17%, fifth place is Deja Vu at 15%, sixth place is Self-Care at 15%, seventh place Sprint Burst 13%, eighth place Dead Heart at 12%, ninth place Bond at 12%, and tenth place Kindred at 10%. So my problem with all these perks is the fact that we have seen almost all these perks in the top 10 for such a long time now. Part of the problem with Dead by Daylight is they don't do enough meta shakeups of perks to make them stronger or weaker. And I don't necessarily think many of these perks deserve any type of reworks. I think Kindred is very healthy, Deja Vu is in a very good place, Bond is fantastic, Dead Heart is in a healthy place, Sprint Burst is Sprint Burst. I mean, it's the strongest exhaustion perk in the game. The fact that more people don't use it is a bit surprising. Self-care is just one of those perks that it's nice to be able to heal yourself. There's very niche situations where it's applicable, but when you actually get value out of it, it's great. Of course, Deja Vu, fantastic. Resilience is my favorite perk in Dead by Daylight, so always nice to get value out of that. Life is actually my favorite exhaustion perk, so it makes sense. And Adrenaline is going to receive a bit of a rework. We don't know in what way. It's obviously going to be designed to be a nerf, so I'm curious to see what they do to that. I have a theory of what they should do, and that is simply the fact that it shouldn't work when you're off of hook. And if they really wanted to give it a nerf, they should say not work while you're exhausted. And then, of course, Windows of Opportunity should stay as is. I don't think that perk should receive any type of rework. But that still leaves the question, well, that doesn't really change the order of things if you think most of these perks are in a healthy state. But that's why we need to bring some of these perks that are extremely weak and make them stronger. For example, this is not happening. It just increases your great skill check zone by, I think, 30%, if I remember correctly. That perk is a general perk that could easily receive a giant buff to make newer survivors' quality of life significantly better. But they're never going to do that. It's really unfortunate. It's really frustrating. But it's just something we're going to have to accept because behavior has no intention of doing anything anytime soon. We already know that. I think they're too scared to do it ever since the Call of Brown eruption meta. But let's talk about the killer perks really quick. It goes without saying that they're going to be the stronger perks once again. And I'll just go over the list really quick. Pop Goes the Weasel at 22%. Pain Res, 21%. Sloppy Butcher, 17%. Surge is literally 12%. And the reason that went down, people, is because it is now a perk that is not a general perk. That's what made it so high before. For those who are probably confused why it's not as high as it initially was, that is the reason. It literally was a perk accessible to all survivors that was an actual slowdown. But since it's no longer available and you have to actually pay to get it, it's going to be less utilized. Fifth place, Corrupt Intervention. at 12%. Sixth place, essentially tying Corrupt Intervention, saved the best for last at 12%, but it received a nerf, so we're naturally going to see that go down the list. Seventh place is Barbecue and Chili at 11%. Eighth place, Noed, 11%. Ninth place, Liquid Pursuer, my favorite killer perk, at 11%. And 10th place, Bamboozle at 8%, my least favorite killer perk. And I'll just go into a bit of a tangent why I think that Bamboozle is such a terrible perk design. First of all, people just have this Bamboozle brain like you have a Lithe brain, and they'll just vault and then just hold W as a survivor or as a killer. They'll always vault the window with Bamboozle, and then bam, they're like, oh, don't have to worry about the window anymore. If I knew a killer has Bamboozle, I'll literally just keep holding W, and then they'll vault the window and already have distance on them. It's such a Bamboozle brain type of thing that killers do. It's just unfortunate, too, because it removes a lot of the skill gap. I think that they could probably do to try to make it a little bit healthier, in my opinion, is reduce the amount of time that the window is blocked. So it gives the killer enough time to destroy the pallet, but not enough time to essentially keep the window blocked for a free down if you're a one-shot killer, for example, like Cannibal. And maybe that's such a survivor entitlement take, but I'm personally a killer main, loosely, of course. I play more killer than the survivor. I play both, of course, but I definitely just think that Bamboozle is a silly perk design. But moving on to the same topic as survivors is, once again, we need to increase some of these general perks. Shadowborn, they could have done so much more with it, but they didn't, and I figured it was going to be something niche like that. I would love a world where we literally nerf Lightborn and Shadowborn and make it something legitimately good and applicable, but they're always going to stay that way. The fact of the matter is, Lightborn and Shadowborn could be significantly better perks in the game, and it could help a lot of newer survivors, but we just don't do that. Of course, you can make the argument, well, Lightborn's really healthy for newer survivors because then they can't get blinded. And I guess you have a point, right? But it's still silly, in my opinion. But yeah, let's talk about some of the most popular killers. So first and foremost, we have Chucky at 7%, Huntress at 6%, Wraith at 3rd at 6%, which, I mean, they're technically tied, so it doesn't matter. Legion at 4th at 5%, Wesker also at 5% at 5th, Trapper at 5% at 6%, Michael Myers 4% at 7th, Nurse at 4% at 8th, Blight at 4% at 9%, and Ghostface at 4% at 10%. And people, you got to think about this really quick, that this is taking into account every single level of gameplay from all survivors and killers. It's not just top MMR, it's not just middle MMR, it's not just low MMR, it's all groups. So you're going to just see that these percentages are pretty egregious. And obviously, it's going to vary completely from level to level. For example, I would say the most played killers that I face in Dead by Daylight would probably be, at this time, it would probably be Blight, Nurse, Skull Merchant, and Hillbilly. I would say those are the four most played killers that I go against. But at the end of the day, these stats don't really mean too much for us, right? You can say that it means a lot, but for me, it doesn't. You know, the only thing that I can say is that if you have a killer at 1%, then maybe you should do a quality of life update to them. But that's the only takeaway that you can get from these notes if I'm a dev. I don't know why they released it to the public if they're not going to do anything with this information. It's like, oh, here you go. Okay, thanks. But if we talk about deadliest killers, ironically enough, we have Skull Merchant at 1 at 70%. And I think this embodies multiple things. I think this embodies the fact that Skull Merchant is, first of all, really annoying to deal with, so people just give up. But I also believe that the Skull Merchant is fairly strong, and we would have to be in a totally different position before we would ever have Skull Merchant at a lower kill rate. I think Skull Merchant needs to become chase heavy for Skull Merchant to go down, but also be more well-liked, and I don't think we're ever going to get to that point. Sadako at 67%, Cenobite at 63% at 3rd, Freddy at 63% at 4th, Plague at 62% at 5th, Pig at 61% at 6th, Dredge 61% at 7th, Spirit at 61% at 8th, Michael Myers at 61% at 9th, and I wonder how much that's relying on his add-ons to essentially just instantly tombstone someone. And then Wesker at 10th at 60%. And then we can go to the lowest killer stat, and it's Larry Doctor at 51%. So the overall average is 58.50, which I think is slightly off of what they want. I'm pretty sure they want a 60% kill rate. Yeah, they actually say it in the notes here that they want to try to keep killers near a 60% kill rate on average, keep matches relatively even, and support the horror theme of the game. And that comment actually pisses me off, and let me tell you why. So Dead by Daylight is nowhere close to horror themed anymore. I would say that we've completely lost that aspect of the game. When we had a dreary atmosphere that was darker and almost felt scary with fog essentially around you, and the HUD was super simplistic with just like white indicators, like red scratch marks when you're injured, that almost embodied the aspect of horror because the maps were darker and it felt like a more horror theme. Now these maps are very vibrant and colorful in comparison, of course, which does not embody a horror theme. I don't know why they want to say horror. There's no aspect of this game that's horror. It's almost frustrating to me that we say it like that. Oh, it's scary. No, it's not. This game is not designed to be scary. And plus, naturally, any video game that you play long enough is not going to become scary. If you are like, man, Resident Evil is scary to me, if you play it enough times, you'll no longer be scared because you understand the game and like where all the jump scares are going to be or where all the scary scenes are going to be at. You'll be desensitized to it, right? So the game's not always going to be scary to you, but it could definitely have horror themes to it still, but they just kind of threw that out the window, right? You got to think about it too. Are all these killers really horror themed? No. I wouldn't say Trickster is necessarily horror-themed. You could say he's a killer, but I don't think he's horror-themed, right? I think we lost that aspect of horror theme a while ago, which is totally fine. I'm happy with the game for the most part, but don't say it's a horror theme. And then, this goes without saying, I'm just going to just pretty much say, they give us survival rates of survivors, which it's saying, long story short, if you're in a group, you pretty much do better at higher MMR than you do lower MMR. I'm not going to go over the numbers, but that just goes without saying. You're just going to do better when you're in a group. And I'm not even saying that necessarily for the fact that it's because you're running with other people and that automatically makes you all better. But at the very least, if you're playing with people, you can at least provide some sort of calm. If it's a stealth killer, like, hey, he's not on me anymore. And some people probably don't even do that, right? When I play with my friends, I don't usually calm, like, oh, the killer's right there. We're usually just BSing and talking about life, right? If it was like Call of Duty where you're just kind of playing the game, talking about whatever, right? So for me, these statistics don't really matter to me unless they're going to actually do something with them. So they can say thank you, for everything. And, I'm glad we were able to, share our stats, but do something with the stats. That's my opinion on it. But I'm guessing that they want the survival escape rate to naturally be these numbers. If the killer, kill rate is at 60, right? Then the survivor escape rate should be 40, right? It should just literally be the opposite. So once again, the numbers aren't saying too much. Honestly, I think my takeaway from this is that they just kind of wanted to do something cute, but it really just doesn't equate to anything until they say, hey, we're going to do something cute, but we're going to tell you what we're going to do off of this. Like, if I'm behavior, I'm going to say, hey, man, literally, the, deadliest killers, man, doctors were really low. And of course, I'm pretty sure doctors actually on the list to receive some sort of quality of life update. So I don't think he's the best example because Hunch is also on the list at 56. So you can look at some of these killers and be like, okay, do we need to bring some of these up? Do we need to bring some of these down? Is it based off MMR? What is it based off of? Like, the fact of the matter is, Pig and high MMR is pretty damn weak. But I think that maybe in high MMR, you might luck out with Pig if they have an active bear trap when all of the generators are taken care of. All you're going to do is just be a nuisance and just say, hey, screw it. I'm going to just do my thing and just try to secure the one kill at the very least and prevent them from taking off the bear trap and then hope that they get hatched, right? As teammates, that is, from the survivor's end. But all in all, I just wasn't too impressed with the statistics and this information in general, since it doesn't really seem like they're going to do anything with it. I really was thinking when we first were given the popular perks that they were saying, hey, here are the popular perks. But now that we've seen this information, we're going to actually try to work on other perks. But they didn't do that. So for me, this all pretty much feels like it was for nothing. But I still wanted to share it all with you because to some people, they just enjoy that general information. I, for one, personally do not. Unless there's actually going to be some sort of follow-up with it. But that being said, that's pretty much it. So I'm actually going to be uploading both of these today as of February 15th. I'm just going to get them out of the way since they need to be uploaded. But thank you all so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day. And per usual, stay safe in the fog.